Yeah, how would it work in practice? I've got to confess, when I came in this morning and somebody said, we've got this brilliant idea, we're going to give you seven correspondents to talk about seven-way debates. And I went, ugh, they'll probably never even turn up in the first place. And when they do turn up, I won't know who's talking, and then they'll all talk together, etc. If it is chaos, just bear in mind we're making a little point here. But probably it won't be chaos. Maybe it will work very well. Let's see if they're all here, first of all. Seb Payne from The Spectator, good morning.
Good morning.
Harry Cole, Guido Fawkes, hi.
Morning.
Isabel Oakeshott, Evening Standard, and used to be in the Sunday Times. Good morning.
Hello.
Gabby Hinsliff, hi.
God Hello.
Yeah, hi. James Kirkup, Daily Telegraph.
Morning.
Jim Waterson, BuzzFeed, UK, Deputy Editor.
Morning.
And Julia Hartley Brewer.
Good morning.
Gosh, that is extraordinary. Who wants to go first?
Everyone.
Yeah.
Well, I think
everyone.
Me.
Yeah, I wonder. I just wonder whether we can make this. What I'm really worried about, I'm going to give each of you a preliminary go about what you think about the seven-way debate. What the trouble will come when we try to intervene and talk to each other. Feel free to try it. We'll leave your microphones faded out, but it may well be somewhat chaotic. But there's no preference shown here, but I'm simply going to go with the list as it's written down in front of me. Sebastian Payne, first of all, seven-way debates. What do you think?
Well, I think at the prime minute, there was no option for the TV companies to come back with anything else, because the prime minister had said, I'm not going to do this without the Greens. So they had to come up with something with the Greens, and then therefore they felt they had to come back with the SNP and Plaid Cymru. But the really odd question is, why aren't the DUP there? If you've got all these other parties, why aren't they involved? And this is another potential get-out clause for the prime minister.
Yeah, who's that?
That's James Kirkup. What about you? What about the Cornish nationalists? What about imaginary Northumbrian nationalists? What about the Free
Galloway.
Pixie Party?
Yeah.
What about Sinn Féin?
Who was that?
That was Harry Cole.
Oh, hi.
don't vote for Harry Cole. Vote for me.
Actually, Harry, I will come to you next. I mean, you know, one of the immediate problems is, you know, DUP has got a very strong case, obviously, but then there are probably all sorts of people who think, yeah, I wouldn't mind a go as well. This will never end, will it, Harry?
Well, I think what's clear is Ed Miliband's not a poker player. He has handled these negotiations terribly. He said 2 weeks ago, I will debate anyone the broadcasters ask me to debate, and now he's going to have to debate 4 left-wing parties versus 2 right-wing ones.
Yeah.
Cameron, you know, he was accused of being a chicken, but he's got what he's wanted, basically, which is the Nigel Farage effect diluted by a load of other people.
Yeah, that was the key matter. He just didn't want to sit there having Mr. Farage projected as a potential leader of the country. Isabel Oakeshott, so a 7, will it work? Will it go ahead, or is this just another stage in the debate, do you think?
Well, I think it'll probably go ahead in some shape or form. I mean, my reservation about it is I think it's going to be incredibly boring. You know, if you've got a lineup of 7 people, either you're going to have to devote the entire evening to it, or it's going to be a very superficial debate. So I don't think it's actually going to have the drama of the debates which involve either 1 or 2 opponents.
Yeah, just hang on a second, because apart from the 7, I want to get across to the cricket. I think last time, Henry Moran, you were talking. Yeah, that's 8. Henry, last time you said England really need a wicket. I think they've got one, is that right?
They have indeed. James Falconer, the man out. Another catch for Ian Bell. A first wicket of the innings for Chris Wokes. Big moment for England, you sense this. They had 2 batsmen in Australia. Now they've got a reset again. Brad Haddon, the man, out in the middle. They need another 88 runs to win Australia from 76 balls.
Yeah, you don't want to join the debate about debates, do you? No, you probably got the cricket. All right. Thank you, Henry. I just thought we were going. It was so nice to have 7 that we make it 8 straight away. One of the trouble with having 7, of course, if you're at the end of the list, you're feeling very wretched already. Gabby Hinsliff is next from The Guardian. Gabby, what do you reckon? What are your thoughts?
Well, we manage with 5 people every week on BBC Question Time, and that works okay.
It works just about, doesn't it? As a presenter, I'd just say 5 is about the logical limit. 4 is comfy.
But the thing is that also the producers then can pick an interesting mix. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, this time you're stuck with there is. I think it's going to be hard for the viewer to keep track, especially with the more unfamiliar of who said what that it was that you disagreed with or didn't like or did like. You know, I think it's just keeping straight in your mind who everybody is and how they're coming across is going to be hard with 7. I think it's the first time we've had women in their leaders' debates, and I think that is going to be interesting. I think 2 it's possible the women will stand out when you look at them, because they won't kind of, they won't look like another bloke in a suit. And that there's an automatic sort of drawing of your eye towards them. That's going to be interesting. It also presents a challenge for the men. Do they talk over them and interrupt them in the same way that you do each other?
The same way as I'm trying to do to you now.
If you do that, I don't know. That's going to be the interesting.
It's not very good. And also, I got to confess, I was trying to tick the names off as I got through them, and already I'm slightly muddled as where I am. I think James, I heard from James Kirk at the Daily Telegraph.
Seven's too many. If you think about the numbers, I mean, seven people, if you give them each, what, 1 minute or 90 seconds to answer, and then 30 seconds or a minute on rebuttal, I mean, a single question is going to take you up to 10, 15 minutes. Presumably, this debate can only last, what, 1 hour, 90 minutes? Or you're going to block out the entire evening, the entire evening's broadcast.
Well, nobody will watch it, will they?
And no one will watch it. And the whole point about the debates, what made them fun, interesting, last time around, well, you got 20-plus million people watching politics, and from the point of view of all of us on this call, we're all political geeks. We spend our entire lives trying to persuade real people to care about politics, and the fact that there were millions of people watching, taking interest in politics was great. But then you're going to kill it by drowning them in crosstalk and blether and people they've never heard of.
Yeah, very difficult. Jim Waterson, I think probably I haven't heard from you, have I yet? Go on, Jim.
No. We see, and that's it. I'm the last on the list. And
if you No, you're not.
We don't care about you, Jim.
Julia,
go on, Jim. We haven't heard a word of that. It's typical. Yeah.
Well, if you're the sixth person answering the question, and you've already heard five
typical
other answers,
getting it wrong again.
I still haven't heard you. Say it again, Jim.
Well, if you're at the end of the list, then people are going to be absolutely bored out of their mind by the time it gets around to asking the sixth leader the same question to give them their fair response. I mean, I can barely remember what we were talking about at the start of this discussion now. I mean, people are just going to switch off.
poor Julia Hartley Brewer sat patiently, occasionally interjecting. And if you are called seventh, inevitably you think they're saying I'm the seventh most important. That is a problem, isn't it?
It is. Look, this is the longest I've ever been quiet. We've all been relatively well behaved. I can't imagine the party leaders will be quite as well behaved as we're being. What the reality is, once you get so many people, it becomes an irrelevance, because let's face it, you know, the leader of, you know, the Northern Irish parties or Plaid Cymru, they're not going to be Prime Minister. The only real debate that matters is actually Miliband v Cameron. David Cameron doesn't want to do a debate because they won't give him. Tony Blair always refused, very wisely it turns out. I think the only real solution is a knockout round. So you have a knockout round ahead, and then we have a vote
the bottom two have to come together and have a little debate. It'll be just like come dancing.
Then basically somebody just goes dark with every round. Like, yeah, you're boring.
Is this political take me out we're suggesting here for the audience? They can just go on each of the parties.
Oh, God, we don't want to date the leaders, do we? Jesus.
Very much. Drop them in a shark pit.
The weird thing is going to be that if you see, you know, you're not going to be able to vote for the person who may turn out to be your favourite person in the debate. If you look, you think, oh, I like that Nicola Sturgeon, she sounds brilliant, and you live in kind of Brighton. So what? There's not an SNP candidate standing in your constituency. How does that help you resolve how you're going to vote, which was one of the points of the early debate?
Yeah, and the other thing is, you've got to pity the person who's chairing this debate. I mean, it's going to be a complete nightmare to stick
maybe with
four
castles.
I can tell you it is a nightmare, because I'm losing track altogether.
Multiple chairs is the answer. At least three chairs.
One for each of them.
Also, everyone needs a strong regional accent so we can remember who's who. That's the key.
Well, what about a musical chairs system where you only have five chairs and you can have all the people, Cornish Independent, Yorkshire, the full works, and they have to keep walking around, and when the music stops they sit down, and if you've got a chair you have a question.
Survival of the fittest.
Right. You know what? That's brilliant. That's just an illustration, because I got although it was a really fun debate, I don't know who was talking at all at the end there. I just lost my way completely. So, and I did kind of enjoy it, but it illustrated one of the difficulties. Because I like your company and we've had a fun debate, I'm going to give each of you another go. That will teach the editor to say, put seven people in, and I'll use up another 10 minutes of their time. Actually, what I'm really interested in, I mean, I've got a funny feeling that the run-up to the election isn't going to be all that interesting. We've marked out the territory. They'll bang on about public spending, health service, etc. They'll repeat everything we've ever heard before, but then comes the result, the possibilities of how government is going to change after the next election are endless. And what I want you to do is put on your speculation hat and just tell me what you think is going to happen. I know it's much too early, but what's your best guess of how the result will look, and one, who will win, and two, how they, whether they'll, what sort of government they might form.
Well, the truth is, none of us know.
I mean, I want you to guess. Who's
of
that?
Of the seven experts, not one of us can know, and it's just completely unpredictable. I mean, my instinct is that Cameron will still be Prime Minister after this election, but it's very much an instinct based on a kind of sense that there is a great public reservation about Ed Miliband as a potential Prime Minister.
Okay.
You know, it's hard to see whether...
That was Isabel. Who's the second one coming in? Who is it? Introduce yourself.
It's Harry Cole. I agree with Isabel. Yeah. By hook or by crook, David Cameron will remain in power. But then the fun really begins, because he won't. There's no way he's going to win a majority. And then it will be, how long will he survive in power? And I think the Tories will start to sharpen their knives pretty rapidly after May.
Yeah.
One more point on the leadership elections, though. Can we just make sure that everyone wears the colour of their party on their ties or their...
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Otherwise,
yeah,
it's really fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard from Harry and Isabel on the next election. Sebastian, let me have you next.
To use him for the last debate, I agree with Harry and Isabel on this one. Hey. That I think that nobody is going to want to make a prediction because it is just so volatile. But I would agree with that. I think when people get to the ballot box and their hands just hovering over the page, they're going to just think, oh, David Cameron, Ed Miliband, oh, I'll stick with what I know, and end up going for David Cameron, not David Miliband.
That would be a shock result.
Yeah, that would be. Okay, so we've heard from, in case, to keep you up to date, we've heard from Isabel and Harry and Seb so far on their predictions. We'll go to Gabby Hinsliff from The Guardian next.
I think why we all find it so difficult to call is that all your instincts are useless this time round. If I was just going with gut instinct, I'd say Cameron gets back in. But what changes it is because of all these little parties, all these seven or more little parties, you know, you don't know how that's going to affect. You lose a little bit of the Tory vote to UKIP, you lose some of the Labour vote to Green, you lose some of the, you know, everybody chops and changes all over the place. And we're dealing with more variables than we're used to dealing with. I don't have a best guess. What I have is a worst fear, which is that we wake up the morning after the election, whoever's Prime Minister or whoever's leader of the largest party, more likely, people going, hang on, this isn't what I wanted. People from who voted for the smaller parties because they thought it was going to bring around a massive change in British politics going, oh, it's just one of those ones we always have. And people who kind of didn't, people feeling that this is not the choice they made, because whatever you get is going to be probably a mishmash, a coalition, a minority government, something else to pander to other people, and feeling this is not what I asked for.
This is not what I voted for.
That is unusual. Yeah. I think that is the real fear, and then people, that just turns people off even more.
Just James Kirk from Telegraph here. I agree entirely with Gabby. And the background to the result, remember, will be the need to go on balancing the books, cutting public spending, quite possibly, the way things are going, another Eurozone crisis. I mean, here's a prediction. The election result and background and politics of this year will be exactly the same as 2010. Hung Parliament against the need for nasty fiscal retrenchment and the background of a Eurozone crisis.
Lovely. Great. Loved it. Who else? Jim Waterson. Haven't heard from you for a little bit.
No, I think the one prediction I make is the Lib Dems may be the fifth or sixth most popular party in the country right now, but they're probably the only ones that should be preparing for government for certain.
They'll definitely
be back in the coalition in some form.
What a fascinating thought. Yeah, thank you, Jim. Julia Hartley-Brewer, as a last comment from you. By the way, thank you to all of you. It's been great, actually. Really enjoyed it. Julia, what would you say?
Yes, I would certainly predict a hung parliament. My guess is the shy Tory vote will be a rather... bigger.